In a disaster, what is the role of palliative care? Where does an ethic of caring fit in, responding to a disaster? Those are the questions to be posed by Nelda Godfrey during the Perfect Storm, the Disaster Ethics Symposium and Public Forum on December 7th, 2011 in Kansas City. For more information and to register for this event, visit practicalbioethics.org, practicalbioethics.org. Nelda Godfrey is Associate Dean at the Kansas University School of Nursing, and she joins us now on the Bioethics Channel. Nelda, you start your presentation with a slide that says, Beyond Emotion. Talk to us about that.
Well, I use a YouTube video clip in this program that shows a newscaster from the Weather Channel who is watching the disaster unfold in Joplin. And he had just recently been at another tornado site. And what you see as he is newscasting, talking about the disaster that he sees in front of him, because it has come again, he's in a situation where he sees this pain and anguish and destruction and that sort of thing. He becomes very emotional and can't get through the newscast and has to pull away from the camera and then tries to come back and talk about it. And I thought it is such a great illustration of the overwhelming emotion that we have when very, very difficult disasters happen with us. I have another example of that, and that is I was teaching at a college when 9/11 happened, and the 18 to 22-year-old people were so concerned, of course, about all of this, and we were all in shock, and the students wanted just groups of faculty to sit around and talk with them about it and trying to make some kind of sense, because for them there was no sense to be made of this at all, and they were seeking to move beyond the devastating, paralyzing emotion to at least being able to talk about it and put something to it. So, and I use that as a beginning.
As a broadcaster, though, and I've been one of those in the past, in a past life, and as a student, and that goes well back in my it's those situations for them. But then as a medical professional going into a disaster, there are some ethical challenges that are presented to medical professionals in that kind of scenario, right?
There certainly are. And that falls very well in with the idea of my topic, which is ethic of care and palliative care, because the title of this is response. And I think that's what we interpret as medical professionals. We interpret our response through our sense of duty, our sense of responsibility. And in order for us to do our responsibility, do our duty, we have to have some sort of framework with which to begin that encounter, because it is devastating when one sees these disasters.
And those challenges are around rationing and restricting and the responsibilities.
Right. One of the authors that I use in my work is Matthew Wynia, who has written about rationing, restricting, and responsibilities. And let me talk just a little bit about that. Rationing, of course, is how do you restrict the amount of resources going to a particular area and who makes those decisions. And, of course, that's the meat of pandemic flu meetings and all kinds of other disaster meetings that we've all been part of. The second area is restricting, such as quarantine, who decides about quarantine. And those situations, again, I think are fairly pragmatic. Rationing, restricting are more pragmatic. But when it comes to responsibilities, I think this is when the emotional part comes in. How can you predict whether people will do what they should do when a crisis comes? What do you need to pull from the inside of yourself to go into a risky situation? How do you make those decisions about leaving your family who may need care and going to help others? Those are things that surround this whole idea of ethic of caring from a medical professional.
So that's the frame that you're looking at. And then you have palliative care, which is an aspect of care during the disaster that's very important, and there are challenges there too.
And there certainly are challenges with palliative care. We are fortunate that AHRQ did some work on the idea of palliative care in disaster situations back in 2007. And so we at least have a little bit of a framework for that. We know that there are that people have been thought about in three different categories. Those people who are well, those people who have an option for treatment, and those people who are too sick to survive. So at least there's a schema of kind of a categorization of that helps us think about it, but it also helps us recognize that palliative care is truly a feature in this. It's not something that, oh, it's an afterthought. It's really something that happens in the disaster setting.
And a lot of people will take a look at this and then trying to define what palliative care is not, and that's when you get into issues around abandonment, euthanasia, and hastening death. And in a disaster scenario, those are very difficult issues.
Oh, they're very difficult issues, and they're open to interpretation. I mean, we can stand on our soapbox and say that, as we have for years now, palliative care is not about hastening death. It's about providing comfort and providing consistent comfort, not just episodic comfort. But it does take an infrastructure to make palliative care work effectively in a disaster situation. Let me give you an example. If you are the triage person and you are sorting people into those who are well, those who have an option for treatment, and those who do not, who do you assign, or how many people do you get involved in each of those three areas? Obviously, the people who are well but worried are there's a crowd control feature to that. There's a medical professional need for those people who have an option for treatment. But who is the person? Who are the people who work with those who are in the palliative care scenario? Some of the literature talks about volunteers, retired healthcare professionals, pastors, chaplains that can help with that. Yet pain management and consistent pain management, comfort care, takes skill. It doesn't just happen by caring people. It takes skill, and particularly when you're talking about opioids or ways to make people more comfortable, it would stand to reason that some of the resources that you might be using for those people who have an option for treatment, those resources could also be used for palliative care. And how do you make that decision?
Disasters are variable. Each disaster is different. Each has its own different elements. Do we have any kind of a baseline that we can look at? Have any studies been done to take a look at how well we're doing right now and what we can improve on?
Well, I think that, first of all, in answering your question, there really aren't any studies that talk about that. Although we do have substantive anecdotal information about Katrina versus Joplin, and since I'm a Missourian, I think about the Joplin disaster
Sure.
quite a little bit. But we certainly have seen a lot more uniformity, a lot more effectiveness, really, of the Joplin situation than we saw in Katrina. But then there are many other factors that go into that. It's later. FEMA would have come sooner in Joplin. There was a better infrastructure to help that happen. People might have been better prepared because of the difficulties with Katrina. It's very hard to say. I do think we have a better idea, having dealt with our disasters in the last decade or so, we do have a better idea of how to plan. I do think, too, we have the knowledge that it will be about us. It is a local issue. It is not something you wait for someone at a federal level to come in. That's not how disaster help usually happens.
Are medical professionals held to a different standard in situations like this?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. I would say that medical professionals are held to their own professional standard. There is a professional identity that each of us has as a healthcare professional. I think there's no legal obligation, but there are, in some cases, some Good Samaritan laws that help with that. But then there are still many things that cause difficulties. In Missouri, we, for instance, for the Joplin disaster, for advanced practice nurses to help treat the many people who needed help, we have very restrictive laws about advanced practice nursing in Missouri, in that you have to be 30 miles from your consulting physician. And people, I knew of a nurse from Northwest Missouri who went down to Joplin to help, and she could only hang drywall. That was all she could do, not work as a healthcare professional because of our restrictive laws.
And for those not familiar with the geography of Missouri, Northwest Missouri and Joplin in Southwest Missouri, that's a lot more than 70 miles.
That's a lot more than 50 miles or 70 miles, right?
Well, what is the one message that you hope to be able to get across during your presentation on December the 7th?
I would say the one message is that palliative care or planning for those who will not survive is a fully legitimate consideration. There's no hierarchy. It's that those who are dying and need comfort are of equal value as those who need treatment.
Nelda Godfrey is Associate Dean at the Kansas University School of Nursing. She is a presenter at the Perfect Storm Disaster Ethics Symposium and Public Forum on December 7th, 2011 in Kansas City. For more information and to register for this event, visit practicalbioethics.org. practicalbioethics.org. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.